Hi, I'm Jeremy Powell, and welcome to Peach Jam. This is GPB's music show, where I get to introduce you to incredible Georgia musicians. From hometown favorites you already love, to brand new voices you're about to discover. It's my job to find different types of people and different types of sounds from all over the Peach State. This show is a mix of performances and down-to-earth conversations, all recorded live at the GPB Studios in Midtown Atlanta. Today, in honor of Public Radio Music Day, I am excited to present you with a sampling of some of the amazing musical talent we have here in Georgia. And up first, I want to introduce you to one of my absolute favorite singer-songwriters that I had the honor of meeting and interviewing. His name is Pony Bradshaw, and he lives in Chatsworth, Georgia.
I'm Pony Bradshaw. I'm from Chatsworth, Georgia, and I play Americana music.
Now, you've told me backstage and in off mic that it's hard to describe what kind of music you play. Why is it so hard to describe it?
Well, it's not because it's weird or avant-garde. It's more because it's more than one genre, probably. Americana has become an umbrella term for country, rock, folk, things like that, and we fall under that umbrella.
And I've seen it listed as like Southern Gothic. Have you seen that? Do you know what that is?
Well, I mean, I don't know if the term originated from Flannery O'Connor back in the day and Faulkner, but yeah, it's just the grotesque, the seedier parts of Southern culture. Maybe that's what they mean by that.
Far Appalachia, across the St. Simon Sound.
Lived in Colorado, lived on couches everywhere. I didn't really have any focus. I mean, I think I learned a few chords on a guitar in my mid-20s, late-20s. But I never really had any interest of doing anything with it. I don't think I knew that you could make a career out of writing a song and singing it, you know, other than, you know, just a big fame. Those types of people, the working class kind of career as a musician, I didn't know existed. And I did a few open mics in Chattanooga, and I guess that's all it takes is somebody saying your songs are good, you know, and it just pushes you further and further into that world.
Sweating out the milkweed in Raven County. We were born from the myth, don't you ever doubt it. Of history, yes, been fair. Sequoia plays the cross with a bald little hair. Quick to find the salt to Jericho. She's moonshine drum hanging all over me. These rituals and dark spells. Come on, cast a mama. Ain't no shaman, but I.
So you were doing open mics off of your music? It was original music?
I think that's what drew me to this place. It was called the Camp House. It was an all original kind of open mic. They didn't allow cover songs. So everybody was kind of on an even playing field. Although some folks would travel in from Nashville and stuff and show us how it's really done, you know what I mean? Because it was a prize every night, money. Mm-hmm. So some folks would travel to try to win that. And I think the first or second time I did it, I want it. So I think that kind of was some validation that I might be doing something I'm good at finally.
I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated at later in your life, you're an adult, and then you learn that you're not just a songwriter, but you're a good songwriter, and you're able to win a contest, and you're able to turn it into a career. Like, do you think about it like that? Is it two different parts of your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's all kind of strange to me still. You know, I never would have thought, you know, 10 years ago I'd be doing this right here, you know, touring, making records. It's all very strange. You know, I can't really understand it, but I'm very happy that I'm here. I feel like I've found a purpose finally, you know.
Buy me a set out of energy. A-track color.
That's Pony Bradshaw from Chatsworth. He is absolutely fantastic and so incredibly intelligent. Look up his interview. You'll find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Just Google Peach Jam Podcast and you'll find it. You can also see it on Georgia Public Broadcasting's YouTube channel. You can find all of the music and all of the interviews from Peach Jam there. Up next is Kyla Simone from Conyers.
My heart's wide open. Open to only you, oh yeah, not holding back like I used to do. Hey, figured I got to take a chance. Two left feet, baby, let's dance, we're seeing colors. Oh, it's a kaleidoscope, oh yeah, a wonder. Oh, still keeping my smile on glow. Hey, oh, hope you're not out.
Yeah, so I'm Kyla Simone. I am originally from Silverspin, Maryland, and I now reside in Conyers, Georgia. And I am a singer-songwriter, and I play guitar, and I refer to my music as acoustic soul. I do R&B.
Why is it different to see a woman of color with an acoustic guitar doing singer-songwriter type stuff?
You know, that's so interesting. It's something I've noticed as well. I think it's just upbringing. I think women of color at large are not necessarily raised with those types of instruments around as prevalent. So just exposure, I think, you know.
Love me, love. Hold my wide open. baby, where have you been all of my life? Nervous, oh yeah, but let's give it a try. What's up, let's make it happen. Let's build this thing to last, and I'm seeing colors. It's a kaleidoscope, oh yeah, of winter.
So let's talk about your organization and what you're doing, because I think it is so awesome.
Aw, thank you. So Girls and Guitars started in 2016. It was really honestly just my curiosity. As an artist in Maryland, I was actually singing around a lot of hip hop artists and stuff like that. So I didn't honestly have an exposure to other artists that looked like me and that did what I did. And I just had a curiosity to try to find some artists that played and sings, you know, other girls of color that played and sing. And it's like the more that I did it all through Instagram.
Okay. All right.
Shout out to IG.
Follow us at Peach Jam Podcast.
Hey.
Hey, now.
At Girls and Guitars Official. But yeah, so I took to Instagram, and it's like the more artists I found and reached out to, the more they were like, hey, I have this friend, or I know this person, or I saw this. And it just all kind of came together. And there was enough talent that I was like, you know what? This is a thing. We're going to create an event. So yeah, we started doing showcases at little cafes and coffee shops. And it was crazy because people showed up. Mm-hmm. And when I hosted these events, I didn't know what to expect. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know if people would come. I was like, oh, maybe we'll get like 20, 30. Place would be packed. And I think people just really love to see that. And then the other thing that was beautiful was the natural spirit of camaraderie. There's just this sweet spirit that comes with this genre of music. I don't know what it is, but every girl that I've met, it's just been like kindred spirits. So yeah, Girls and Guitars has sort of taken a life of its own. And I have such big dreams for it, huge dreams for it. And sometimes it's overwhelming, but I feel like there's a need for it for sure. Especially like you mentioned, one of the things, like if you just Google or you search women who play guitar, predominantly you're not gonna find women of color that pop up as prevalently. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just wanted to give voice to the fact that we out here.
Peach Jam and the Peach Jam Podcast is a television show. It's a podcast, obviously. It's a radio show. And it's a video podcast and mini concerts. You can find so much content just by going to gpb.org/peachjam.
I'm Eddie Ninevolt. I'm a musician from Atlanta, Georgia. If I had to describe my music, I'd say it was Southern Soul music, man.
What exactly is Southern Soul?
Well, you know, in a land of all these genres these days and everything, it's hard to put us in a category, because we grew up in a band where we played covers, we played 4-hour sets, so we did country, we did western, We did blues, rock and roll, whatever, man. And but now recently with the band, we've been getting into a lot of soul music. And so so we just call it Southern Soul, man. So it's just a mix, a gumbo of music, if you will, you know?
A gumbo of music. I love that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Song's called Yellow Alligator. One. Just swimming through the gumbo. Gotta keep his head down, looking for the jumbo jet. Got a funny feeling, got the blues on Monday. Gotta swim back for the storm on Sunday, or we're all gonna get wet. Everybody living in the city, but they living a lie. Playing on my music in the bayou where I always stay high.
Now, you introduce yourself as being from Atlanta, but you're not just from Atlanta, you're from McDonough.
From McDonough, Georgia.
So when did you start playing guitar?
I was a drummer first. I was talking to you, I was in a death metal band as a drummer. I was in sixth grade, and my brother, who was in the high school band, they didn't want a middle schooler in the band at all. But I was the only one that could play drums. And until we were doing that, but we made about our biggest gig, we made $6 for the whole band. So we had to figure out another way to get some bread. And we ended up, my buddy asked me, he goes, hey, I need you to sing some songs for us. I didn't really play guitar. I messed with it a little bit. But I had to learn about like 12 songs in 1 week and in front of a band and sing. And it was into a club about in McDonough, about 150 people. And it was the biggest drug I could ever took, just being in front of people with a microphone, man.
And how old were you?
Probably 14.
All right, you're 14 years old. You had never really played guitar, and you learned 12 songs in a week?
It was crazy. I mean, I had a little background of guitar, but I never had any background of singing and playing. So I was come home from school and never did my homework. I was in the back room just playing and learning, man. CCR, all those old greats, you know.
And then I guess that leads us to why you dropped out of high school, if it's
not doing
your homework.
It was a lot of late nights, and I don't know how my parents agreed to do it, but they were just like, you know, they said, you know, focus on your music. So I was very, very lucky, and we were doing a lot of shows. I mean, we really were doing like Fat Matt's here in Atlanta, which is a barbecue staple. And I would get home, and I would go to school, and I'd just sleep, and the teacher said, he's not doing anything, he's just sleeping. And I was glad that I was able to get out and focus on music, man.
So you're, as a teenager, you're playing in Atlanta, mm-hmm. driving back home to McDonough to go to high school, and you wake up enough to get there, but then fall asleep.
I mean, we go play Macon, Georgia, and I can remember being 15 years old, and they'd pay us, they'd just drop a big tub of beer. And I ain't gonna name any of the bars, but you know, I've been doing that kind of lifestyle since I was like 15, 14 years old, but yeah, it's tough to go to school when you're when you're coming home seeing the sunrise, you know. On the boondocks, passed right out and she fell with a boombox. It made a mighty sound. Gonna have a party in the low-down swampland, grilling on some eagle with a no-name farmhand. Or just messing around. Everybody living in the city.
Where's the name come from?
Man, the name, my original name is Brooks, but the name comes from trying to keep each other staying up late, you know, and we're from Georgia, so we do this thing where we come up with these Boston accents, and I ain't gonna do it on camera.
Are you sure? I think you should. You can't really say that and not do it.
I know, right? I always shoot my foot with that one. But but no, so we stay up late, and you know, and so they call me Eddie. So they'd be like, "Hey, Eddie," you know, and I'd usually be driving. I'd say, you know, like, "Be quiet down there." So they said, "Oh, he's got a little bit of a charge." So they call me Eddie Nonvolt. So But it was because, you know, we used to be Brooks Mason Blues Band, but then again, I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be labeled as anything, so we changed it to Eddie Ninevolt. And honestly, it's been the best, one of the best moves of career-wise, for sure.
And what's that Boston accent sound like?
Hey, Eddie. I'm not going to do it. Well, I mean, I'll make a fool of myself, man. And nobody will show up at a Boston show.
Everybody living in the city, but they're living a lie. Just living a lie. Playing all my music in the bayou where I always stay high. I gotta stay high, baby. Yes, sir, yes, sir, I do.
Is Georgia's own Eddie Ninevolt here on Peach Jam on Georgia Public Broadcasting. The interview with him is absolutely fantastic, and that dude is on a rocket ship. He is currently in Nashville producing an album with Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. Another person that I am sure will find tons of success is a young lady from Dahlonega, Georgia, named Jessie Williams.
Hello. I'm Jessie Williams. I'm from Dahlonega, Georgia. And if I could describe my music, I like to call it melody medicine. It's a blend of soul and blues, Appalachian music too, and folk. And it's not traditionally pure in any way by any of those measures, but they borrow and lend into each other. And so, melody medicine, that's what I call it.
Where did you learn this?
That's a great question. Well, I grew up in music. Even in the womb, my dad's current muse was Stevie Ray Vaughan. And Voodoo Child was like the song he was listening to on repeat at like volume 10. And my mom always loves to tell me that story because she was saying that I was kicking and fighting and making quite the moves and when he would play that song. And that's actually who I grew up loving the most, my first guitar player that I really idolized. And but long story short, you know, my dad had a family band, and every weekend they would get together, no matter how hard and how many hours they worked, and they would get together and shut in for the whole weekend and play music. And I got to watch that, you know, watch them lose themselves, watch the lines on their face disappear, and they looked younger. And I wanted to be a part of it. Like, as soon as I heard it and could be there, and the Voodoo Child, when he would play it, you know, he'd use the wah-wah, and I didn't know the names of the songs, but I'd begun to recognize them in my mind, and I would always ask for the chicken song because it sounded like chicken scratch with the muted strings and the wah-wah. And so I've been a student watching them and learning from them and that way of life and applying your life to music and vice versa. That's, I'd say, where I learned it from. I mean, it's so easy to do things halfway, you know, and to kind of sit in that comfortable space of, because if you don't fully give it a shot, then you can't feel the disappointment of failing, right? It's like a convenient sabotage of the self. But you learn more from failure than you ever do success. And so the more that I was willing to be bad, the more that I was willing to let go of my best, the better I got.
Where does all of this deep thinking come from?
Growing up, my Papa Michael, which is who taught me to start playing, he taught my dad how to play guitar. And then when I was 12 years old, he strung up this little quarter guitar with nylon strings and got me playing. But prior to that, he was my safe place in this world. He lived right across the driveway, and that's where I live now, from my parents. And every day after school, I'd make a beeline for his house. And it's amazing how he had such a way of listening. And it's an art, the way he did it, because I would come to him with, you name it, all kinds of like problems and, you know, very clearly like troubling problems for my age. But he never made me feel like I was 12. Mm-hmm. He made me feel like we were eye level. And he also didn't shield me from his beliefs. Not that he didn't need me to be audience to him. So he really did speak very little. But it was the way he lived his life. I never heard him talk bad about anybody. He lit up a room when he walked in, and I honestly think getting to be seen and not be coddled, you know, it's like easy, you know, when you're young and people don't want to influence you, or you're cute and they love you and they just want to keep you at that age. He was very willing to share who he was, and I feel like because of that, that gave me a space to connect with that inner will that's there. You know, I learned by watching, and then I also was like gifted the space to stumble into it myself. He rarely ever told me what to do. He would often just lay out the options and just be like, what do you want? And a lot of people have well-meaning intentions, but will, you know, tell you what they would do. And he never did that. And I think that helped me connect with that channel in me. And I don't know where it all comes from. I miss him so much, and I chase that connection of mentorship. And I do that through listening to all kinds of things. And I guess it's part of my diet. I hunger for those things, and occasionally little wise things come out here and there.
You've got this, like, Dolly Parton wholesomeness about you. Like, you really do. And it's like you're great with a one-liner and also, like, really deep thoughts. And has anybody ever told you this?
Not the Dolly Parton thing. Okay. That's high praise. She's cute. You know, the little giggle. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she plays guitar with those long acrylics either. That's pretty wild. Well, if I do get seen for that, and I'm very grateful for that, but I also, that's a byproduct of being raised by my dad, you know, and then of course my Papa Michael, that's how they are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's almost like this, you always want to play ball, you know, like if he says something, I'm like, oh, that's good. And I want to play ball back. It's just the quips that go back and forth that keeps things interesting. And I think as in a way I've been trained to do that because you just shuck and jive. That's what I grew up in. I appreciate it too when I meet other people like that. It's, I don't know, that thinking on your feet, it just kind of takes you out of the hum and drum, you know, normal pleasantries and conversation. I like it. Like, please wake me up out of normalcy.
Her name is Jessie Williams. That's the Jessie Williams Band from Dahlonega, Georgia. If you want to see and hear her entire musical performance, you can find it on GPB's YouTube page. She is an incredibly talented guitarist. This is a special edition of Peach Jam on Georgia Public Broadcasting, and today we are honoring Public Radio Music Day. And up next is Wiley from Atlanta.
Yeah, my name's Wiley from Atlanta. I'm from the east side of Atlanta. I grew up in Clarkston for the most part, off of East Ponce, like exit 40. Started making music when I was like 14 is when I started really recording myself. And I would describe my genre as alternative blues or alternative R&B, with like an emphasis more on the B, I guess. Not that I don't have rhythm, just that it feels bluesy to me, you know?
No, I totally get that. And when you say that, that's something I've never heard before, alternative R&B, but it definitely fits.
Hey, yeah. Stretching out my legs like the grabber, lavender coupe. Drink the dregs from the chalice. I'm back in the booth, smoking on true solace. Knowledge and actual proof. Keep a true scholar, body on an accurate too. Don't you be spilling juice. Don't be passively truth. You got a higher power. Alive for them early hours. Shower water stretching out your muscles like the fountain of youth. Take off your pride. Leave it at the door. No, we drunk off moonlight, babe, dancing real slow. Take off your pride, leave it on the floor now, babe. No, we both get so high, just hold me real close.
You're unique. You're hard to describe to people. You know, when I'm finding artists to be on Peach Jam, sometimes my boss or people in the building or people who are in this room will be like, oh, well, what kind of music do they play? When they ask me about you, I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I kind of have the same problem. It's not even like I always feel kind of annoying when someone's like, what music do you make? And I'm like, it's hard to describe the genre because they're like, all right, whatever, man. You know, like everybody sort of says that now. But I don't know. I just think it's very me. Like that's, it just, it feels really natural to me when I'm working on it. And if I come out of the studio with a weird like pop or rock song, sometimes it doesn't fit into the world of what I'm making, but I never write that off or like throw that stuff away. I always am kind of looking for ways to experiment, you know, and make better stuff than what I made before.
And you're really messing with the algorithms because you have popped up in my like Spotify algorithm or Pandora thing where like you fit in with some of the alternative country acts I'll listen to, some of the rap acts I'll listen to, some of the blues, and yeah, like you can get slotted next to a lot of different people and fit right in.
That's cool. I mean, I wonder about that sometimes with just like you said, like the algorithm and like, you know, because I've never really been someone that like gets playlisted. I like, you know, my Spotify, I've almost never been in an editorial playlist. I got into an Apple Music editorial for like 30 minutes. Like it was really bizarre. I was like texting everyone like, this is crazy. And then I refreshed the playlist and like the song was gone, which I don't know. Maybe they were like, not enough clicks, get rid of it. But you never know. Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. I didn't ever think of it that way, but hopefully that works out to my advantage.
The bottoms of bottles that kept me hollow. I'm only a product of problems I kept inside of me. Trying to hide a side of me from you, I try to swallow anxiety. Panic and piety, anger put me in danger. It's strange when you got it made, but plays they want you to make don't get you excited. We dance to heroes that fade, spade is a spade. You getting aged now, praying for an early retirement. Take off your pride, leave it at the door now, babe. I know we both get so high, just hold me real close. I said, take off your pride.
If somebody doesn't understand the music scene in Georgia and Atlanta and why it's so important to hip hop especially,
yeah,
what do you say to them?
I would say that literally every, especially in hip hop, Atlanta dictates the sound of current hip hop. There is no artist who's popping right now who didn't borrow something from the Atlanta sound or the Atlanta style. The thing about Atlanta is because we do so much innovation and usually on a really large scale, like a lot of the artists here are huge, huge artists, you know, like the songs are on the radio, the songs are in the club, like whatever. It's almost second nature. The only thing that frustrates me about it is I think it's really interesting that like we have a very signature sound, right? At least to me, I feel that like Atlanta hip hop from, you know, whatever, like Outkast, all the way up to now, you know, you might say like Young Thug or Future is like kind of who runs it now in Atlanta, but it's like there's so many, we have such a defined sound, and I think it's really interesting how like if an artist from New York makes a song on like a West Coast rap beat, people are like, you can't do that. Or if an artist in California makes like New York drill, it's like, what are you doing? But everybody copies us and gets away with it. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is just because it's like the popular sound, you know, like it's, I don't know. I have a lot of opinions about it, but I just think because our scene is so like the artists that are really, really successful from Atlanta are so kind of like larger than life in a way that is not always the case. It's not to say there's not huge artists from everywhere, but I think it's what caused our scene like to constantly change and evolve and innovate, and like you get these new waves and new pockets, you know, like there's always a wave happening of a series of artists, you know, whether it's like when I was younger and it was like 2-9 and Key, and moving forward it's like Earth Gang, you know, Jid, and then there's like Maconan, like there, you can kind of track like all the way up to like Lil Yachty, and then now like I would say Kenny Mason or David the Tragic, like artists that I kind of came up in the scene at the same time, like playing shows with, that I think are not only like pioneers of what they're doing, but uber talented, like could pretty much do whatever they want. And like artists that I really respect and look up to, like we there's such a range here of different sounds. Ugly impatient hands rip out the whole landscape. Sully my bitter soul, my heart in a handshake. Blood from a stone, water run red when the dam breaks. Follow me home, my spirit gilded and handmade. I got my daddy voice, I got my mama's eyes. I hope my sister notice she stand on my shoulders high. I hope my brother know that he keeping my soul alive. East side of Atlanta, love you like a sibling. That go for Cleo, J. Lou, and Taylor, we got history. I remember playing shows with Daniel, they dismissed me. I remember Johnny crashing cymbals like they dissed me. I remember Jared sipping bourbon by the 50. He blessed me with a story I'm gonna tell until we 50. Anybody else that helped that made me who I am. Hope you understand, you made me strong enough to stand. And that's word to you. Take off your pride. Hey, leave it on the float now, babe. You gotta take off your pride. Leave it on the float now, babe. I know we both get so high, so high.
Georgia is the new hotbed for musical talent, and the music industry knows it. Record executives are turning their eyes to the Peach State to discover the next big thing. On GPB's Peach Jam podcast, you'll hear those rising Georgia artists before anyone else. Listen and discover the sound of what's next on the Peach Jam podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Hi, I'm Melody.
I'm Dustin.
I just realized I touched the mic. We should probably do that again. Okay. Bam!
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Melody.
My name is Dustin.
And we are Hey Dreamer. We're a rock band from Atlanta, Georgia.
Is it that simple? Just a rock and roll band?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, interview over. Let's go home.
Yeah. Well, we kind of go through so many sub-genres, so we try to just stay
Definitely.
Under the umbrella of rock.
Yeah.
That way we're not pigeonholing ourselves into something.
We're loud and we use distortion, so that's the rock and roll.
Yeah, pretty much. Come for justice, guilty bones, found corruption, found us that sons, keep on moving.
Hop down the road, shine is tarnished, the house to come, for tomorrow.
As much as we would love to tour more, it's more about being very intentional and smart about the tours that we do or the gigs that we take. And the game now, I think, is a lot more, even more than it was, again, a few years ago, about the social media and, like, staying active and staying connected. Not that I'm, like, super good about it. Like, sometimes we have good weeks where we both
yeah.
post a lot, and other times it's, like, really exhausting and we just don't feel like doing it. So, yeah. Yeah.
And I would say too, like, it does make economical sense, but kind of thinking about it, of course, on a Friday or a Saturday, you're going to make more money playing the gig because there's going to be more people there usually. So those gigs are just kind of more worth it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when we, like, for example, when we have done like a week or whatever at a time, you know, you'll make your money on Friday and Saturday, and then the other dates are either just getting to different places or on the way home. And honestly, they really are often losses.
Mm.
Like a gig on a Monday night, you kind of can look at as like,
covering
you're probably
costs.
Gonna lose. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, most likely losing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's another reason why we do kind of the weekend warrior thing is
mm-hmm.
It just kind of, it makes more sense. It's less exhausting. And honestly, it helps you to not go in debt. It's not necessarily even about like breaking even. Like sometimes being out for weeks at a time, especially for developing bands, you know, where you're just trying to get your name out there, nobody knows who you are, it can be a lot of losses.
Yeah.
So it just makes more sense to do that for where we are.
Like I do a lot of freelance work and I play with a lot of different artists around town, so I definitely, like, me personally, I think I'm gigging like quite a bit. It's like pretty much every weekend I'm playing with somebody. But Hey Dreamer, we try to be really intentional with the gigs that we do take. But I don't know if you want to.
No, I mean, that's true. Yeah. I try not to just take gigs just to take them. Mm-hmm. Usually I try to do them if, you know, they're kind of bigger events or something that I've put together with other people or that it just makes sense for us to do. And it's mostly for the saturation point.
So there's some sort of like business plan for what you want to do with the band. It's not just throwing it out there and see what sticks. Like you're very deliberate.
Yeah, that probably comes more from me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I got my undergrad in music business and I'm getting my master's in music business, so everything's very methodical. So I'm getting the master's degree with Berklee Online.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Where's the undergrad
from? I'm working on my thesis. It's from Berklee as well. Yeah.
Wow, okay. You should have led with that. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Wow. Yeah.
It's interesting because it gives a different perspective, but it's also allowed me to kind of understand bigger picture kind of stuff. Mm. Whereas before it was really hard, like with taking gigs, it's like, well, this is a huge opportunity. It's an opportunity to get in front of people, you know, that kind of thing. And now I'm like, well, you know.
You sure about that?
It's relics fade, and the story's turned to death. What's left?
That band is called Hey Dreamer. They are a rock band from Atlanta here on Peach Jam. They're currently working on new music with Will Turpin of Collective Soul. Up next is a band from Adele.
I'm Travis Page.
I'm Dakota Page. And we're the Page Brothers Band. We're from Adele.
Adele, Georgia.
Adele, Georgia. That's between Tifton and Valdosta. And If you go through Adele, the next town over is Sparks, and they say Adele's so close to hell you can see Sparks.
And what type of music do y'all play?
Southern soul rock.
Okay.
Blues. blues, you know, this or
it's a mixture.
Yeah, Mr. Astor.
Mama, please come home. You didn't tell me you were going. Pasta burning on the stove. You left the door wide open. I'm begging, please. What if I did wrong? I wanna make it right. Whenever you come home, I wanna treat you better, the best that I can. So don't you make me out to be some kind of guilty man.
Tell me about Adele.
Adele.
The King Frog exit is what they call it. Because, the you know, the King Frog. If you go down 75, you know, to Florida, you're going right through Adele.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there ain't much to it. It's but though it's grown, you know, in the past few years.
Used to, you know, like the biggest thing in Adele was they had a McDonald's red light in a Waffle House, you know. Now they got, they're building a Starbucks. They got Eliano's down there. They doing stepped up, man.
Lots of commercial businesses.
Yeah.
That came down.
They industrializing. Ain't that what you call industrializing?
Yeah.
What's a music scene down there? Like, is there one?
You gotta go outside of Adele.
You gotta go outside of Adele. There's a, Valdosta and Tifton.
Yeah, we're sandwiched right in between Valdosta and Tifton. You know, there's a bunch of good musicians, you know, south and north of us. And, you know, within like a, you know, 50-mile radius, there's a good bit of musicians.
Mm-hmm.
In Tifton, there's this place that's been there. I guess the business has been open since the 70s. It's the Lamplighter Pub in Tifton,
mm-hmm.
which is really kind of like our home base. It's where we really cut our teeth, you know, mm-hmm. as musicians. We've been playing there 7-8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's a great music venue. You know, there's not really a whole lot of music venues. A lot of it's just, you know, bars and restaurants, you know.
Yeah.
You know, as far as where we're at, we got to kind of travel out to, you know.
No more fussing and fighting. I don't want to be alone. You're crying. Wish I could take it all back. All the things I've done wrong. I wanna make it right. Whenever you come home, I wanna treat you better. The best that I can. So don't you make me out to be some kind of guilty man, some kind of guilty man.
So is this a full-time job?
Yeah.
Kind
of, for me it is. You know, I refurbished propane tanks. Been on framing houses, you know, doing construction, worked at a sawmill, worked at probably every fast food place. You think of an Adele, it's just the only thing that I've ever felt good at or felt like I was supposed to be doing, you know. And he runs a music store.
Yeah, so String Theory Music in Adele, Georgia.
He's actually co-owner of the music store.
Okay.
Yep, so Chuck Westbrook and a guy, Fred Knowles, mm-hmm. run it together. And so that's our music store, String Theory Music. And I work there throughout the week. But luckily, Chuck, so that the owner, or I guess co-owner now, because I'm part 20% owner, you know.
Yeah.
But he kind of lets me, you know, go out and do my gigs when I can and,
mm-hmm.
you know, doesn't really give me a hard time about, you know, missing work a lot. So I mean, eventually, hopefully, the music will be, you know, pretty much all we do. But
Mama, please come home.
moaning out my window, creeping up to the door, standing out in the cold. Why won't you come in? I'll tell you sorry again. What in the hell are you doing with a gun in your hand? I wanna treat you better, better, the best that I can, the best that I can. Don't you make me out to be some kind of guilty man. I wanna treat you better, better, the best that I can, the best that I can. Don't you make me out to be some kind of guilty man. 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 Some kind of guilty man.
Two brothers, absolutely chock full of talent from Adel, Georgia. That is the Page Brothers Band here on Peach Jam. And last year for the holiday special, they did an incredible version of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. You can find it on our YouTube page. Thank you for listening to this special edition of Peach Jam on Georgia Public Broadcasting. If you want to hear any of the interviews, any of the music, you can find it online. Lots of places. gpb.org/peachjam. You can go to your favorite podcast platform and search for the Peach Jam podcast. Look for the GPB YouTube channel. That's where you can watch the video podcast and the full musical performances. And if you want to be a part of Peach Jam or you know a band that should be on Peach Jam, send me an email. It's peachjam@gpb.org. There's a new season of the Peach Jam podcast.
And that was the first time somebody ever told me I was an artist, and it made my whole life make sense.
Peach Jam is a mix of performances and down-to-earth conversations, all recorded live at our GPB studios in Midtown Atlanta. And it highlights musicians of all kinds from every corner of the Peach State.
Well, I hope to recreate the feeling that the disco divas of the 70s and 80s captured.
Being my age, I'm the youngest person in this genre right now pursuing it.
That was one of the best weeks of our life, opening for REM out west.
This season features artists from Savannah, Athens, Richland, Lula, Hayhira, Atlanta, and more. What does the music sound like? I am so glad you asked.
Look, let's go. This that gullah, Gucci, Gucci down by the river. Gotta be solid or not you gon' be found by the river with you.
Well, you said you don't really like my type, but I better make you mine by the end of the
bartender. I really did it this time. Broke my parole to have a good time.
Both feet in the water, let the current take the lead. Sweet Southern song.
Season 5 of the Peach Jam podcast is available now. The Peach Jam podcast is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jeremy Powell. If you want to recommend an artist to be on the show, send me an email, peachjam@gpb.org. Sandy Malcolm is our executive producer. Mark Davenport is our associate producer. Recording, mixing, and mastering by David Spence and Victoria Evans Cash. Special thanks to the team at Sounds Good. Find us on Instagram at Peach Jam Podcast and look for Peach Jam on TV wherever you watch Georgia Public Broadcasting. In the meantime, please support live local music and independent record stores in your area.